Welcome to Rams Up, your weekly LA Rams podcast, bi-weekly during the season. We are a proud member of the Pigskin Podcast Network. We'll cover other SoCal sports items of interest, but we're mostly about your Los Angeles Rams. I'm your host, Mark. Let's get to it. Welcome back, Ram fans, to episode 5 of season 2 of Rams Up, your LA Rams podcast. We're going to get into a lot of free agency news here, but the highlight of this episode will be a one-hour segment we have coming up. Paul Walia and Tom Kortz join me to talk all things related to Rams and free agency specifically. Pretty thorough discussion. I think you enjoy it. We'll get into all the big and little news directly affecting our Los Angeles Rams. So not going to talk a lot about Ram free agency up front here, saving that for the discussion. We'll go through some basic notes here on the Rams, though, up front. Matthew Stafford's deal finally restructured. It'll be a $13.5 million hit this year, but Stafford's restructure and the trade of Robert Woods, our wide receiver to the Titans, has opened up some cap space now. We should have about $15 million in spending money under the cap. So sorry to see Robert Woods go, but the Rams have some ammunition to go out and get some people if they want to. Kind of saw this coming. Really disappointed to see Robert Woods go. I think it's, in the long run, better for this team, but loved Robert Woods. I was really hoping he would be a Ram forever. And that, of course, is one of many things we'll talk about in our discussion coming up. One of the most interesting things in this first week of free agency is how many players are ending up in the AFC. How many of the top players, J.C. Jackson, the best cornerback, perhaps the best free agent, period, going to the Chargers, Devontae Adams going from the Packers to the Raiders, Russell Wilson in the AFC West now, Deshaun Watson in the AFC North, Von Miller also going to the Bills. Randy Gregory to the Broncos. Chandler Jones, also with the Raiders. Darius Williams with the Jags. Laken Tomlinson, the Niners offensive lineman. He's with the Jets. Brandon Scherff, one of the top offensive linemen, ends up with the Jags too. Jags really loading up. DJ Jones, one of the Niners' best upfront defenders, goes to the Dolphins. DJ Reed, very productive defensive lineman for the Seahawks. He's in the AFC now with the Jets. Our own Sebastian Joseph Day rolls over to the Chargers, as did Gerald Everett, also to the Chargers. Really incredible. NFC losing lots of marquee players and a lot of AFC free agents also staying in the AFC. Good thing for the Rams. Good news for the Rams. The AFC is the conference you don't want to be in at the moment. Ram comp picks were finally awarded about what we expected. They got the third rounder, a fourth rounder, and 3 sixth rounders. So they end up with 8 picks at the moment, 1 in the third, 1 in the fourth, 1 in the fifth, 3 in the sixth, and the 2 in the seventh. Now, the Rams traded Robert Woods for a 6th round pick, but that's not until 2023. So the Rams add a 6th pick in the 2023 draft. Now, I saw a lot of comments bemoaning the fact that we only got a 6th-rounder, but this was more about the salary dump than anything else. It's not that Robert Woods is simply worth only a 6th-rounder in next year's draft. It's that the Titans are willing to take on that salary and give the Rams some more cap space, a little bit more breathing room to restock this roster at other positions. Like I said, the discussion we have coming up right after the break here, 1 hour straight of Ram free agency talk. We're going to get into the details, but I will run down, but real quickly, all the signings by the Rams. Rams signed to offensive tackle Joseph Noteboom. He'll be replacing Andrew Whitworth, who has retired. Brian Allen re-signed to man that center position. Lost Whitworth to retirement. Johnny Hecker has been cut and signed with the Panthers. Okoh signs with the Texans. Austin Corbett, another Ram, going to the Panthers. As I mentioned earlier, Sebastian Joseph Day to the Chargers, Darius Williams to the Jags, Von Miller to the Bills. Other interesting signings, our old buddy Roger Saffold has signed with the Bills, and Corey Littleton released by the Raiders, has signed with the Panthers. Wanted to let you know what we're going to do next week. We'll update you on any additional free agency, obviously. We're also going to have a little fun assessment of all these free agents the Rams have lost over the last 5 or 10 years. What's happened to them? Has it worked out? Did the Rams make the right decision? The answer, for the most part, is a yes. And something worth pondering as we lose another fairly large group of players to free agency. Next up, our 1 hour with Paul Walia and Tom Kortz. They join me for a thorough evaluation of where the Rams stand after 1 week of free agency and what we might expect moving forward. Good stuff. The NFL season is behind us, but time for some college basketball fun. College basketball fans, join the action on the court during the biggest tournament of the year with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TPPN. Bet $5 on any college hoops team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. If they win, you win with promo code TPPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. 21 or over, restrictions apply. See our show notes for details. Hey everybody, for this segment, I have two of my Rams superfans back to discuss what the Rams have done so far in free agency, where they stand now, where they need to go. I got Paul, our East Coast guy from Long Island. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Mark. Nice to see you again.
It's actually afternoon for you, I guess, but...
and 1 o'clock.
Okay. And we also have Tom from somewhere in California's Central Valley. He's joining us again. How you doing, Tom?
Hey, great. Thanks. Good to be back.
So what I'll do is let's go position group by position group and look at what the Rams have done so far in free agency and where you guys think, what kind of shape they're in for each unit, if they need to go out and get some more guys. We'll just go position group by position group. I think we can get through the quarterback position pretty fast. You know, Stafford had the contract restructure to free up some cap space. Bryce Perkins is still there. Wolford, now my understanding, Wolford is still a free agent, right? He has not been signed. So how do you guys feel about the quarterback position? Is it just a matter of making sure we get Wolford signed and we're good to go?
Yeah, I think he is still an exclusive rights free agent and they haven't signed him yet, but I think most people expect him to be back. His big strength is not only like we had talked about before, his ability to sort of take over. He knows McVay's offense really well, but apparently his greatest value to the team is running a really strong opposing quarterback
scout team sets
in practice. Yeah, the scout team. And apparently he does a really good job of that. He's a really smart guy, a quick study on what the other teams are going to be running and running it against their starting defense.
Anything to add to that, Paul? Not a lot to discuss as far as the quarterbacks go, really.
Yeah, well, I think the one thing I would add, the team really likes Wolford, and you saw that when they responded positively to him when Jared Goff went down.
Right.
So I think that's another important element, the locker room aspect of it.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll see some action on that contract here soon. I'm surprised it hasn't already happened. I don't know the nuts and bolts of how the exclusive rights free agents, how that mechanism works, but hopefully they'll get something done here quick. Running back position, again, I think we're in pretty good shape. Akers, Henderson, Jake Funk, still there. Xavier Jones and Raymond Calais are still under contract. So the two free agents are Buddy Howell and Sony Michel. They're still out there. And I don't know, my take on that is maybe bring Howell back, but I would think someone else is going to make a play on Sony Michel. I don't know. What do you guys, how do you feel about that, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, I think their first two, obviously Henderson and Akers, complement each other really well. Henderson showed a lot in the Super Bowl. I still think they need a physical, you and I had spoken about it last time. They need a physical back for the short yardage scenarios. They really struggled in that goal line, short yardage. A physical back, you had mentioned Malcolm Brown, reminiscing of Malcolm Brown, right? But someone like that. I think they can get a really nice option in the draft in the later rounds. There are a couple of really under the radar running backs I think would fit really nicely on a nice rotation with
Yeah,
the.
so they'll have five guys right now in camp, add another running back in the draft, and maybe let Howell and Michelle walk. What do you say, Tom?
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a position that they love to draft in. Running backs' values is obviously is getting devalued, and they can draft these guys, play them, and see how they fare. They also have a guy, Javian Hawkins, back in camp this year. Not that it's of any consequence, but they do like bodies there, and run them out, see how they do. But I agree with Paul that a physical back that can pound for, a couple of yards, which they struggled with this year, would be very valuable.
I think Buddy Howell might have that in him, but we really never got a chance to see it. So I'm not sure how much they like him. Maybe not enough to bring him back. The tight end position has settled a little bit with Johnny Munt signing with the Vikings. So we have Higbee, Hopkins, and Blanton, and Jacob Harris all coming back, all under contract. I don't know what free agents are out there. I don't really see them making a move in the tight end market. I know there's some really good, the draft is supposedly really deep in tight ends. So I'll let you go first, Tom, on the tight ends. We kind of just gonna stand pat where we're at, maybe draft one. No free agents coming in now.
Yeah, I don't see him signing a tight end free agent. I do think they have a really strong contingent with Higbee, Blanton, and Hopkins, and Jacob Harris in the wings. There's also a 90-man practice squad player or camp squad player in Kyle Markway that's been in and out of the
Oh,
Rams.
right. Right.
So he'll be there. So they have a deep bench there. Obviously, Blanton and Hopkins got some play in the end of the season, especially in the Super Bowl, and did well. I did watch the tape, rewatch the tape of that, and Blanton really struggled in the blocking game. He missed three or four blocks that blew up the running backs in the backfield, so that might be a concern where Blanton's concerned. Hopkins blocked well. He missed one bad block, but. Blocking's probably harder than receiving when it comes to tight ends.
Right.
Understanding the especially in the zone run scheme that the Rams run, you have to make decisions on the fly, and so not getting reps kind of let those guys off the hook a little bit. But anyway, I think they're fine at tight end. What do you think, Paul?
Yeah, actually, that's my one of my favorite spots on the roster. If you look at it in terms of potential, the talent there is just incredible. Probably the most we've ever had since I can remember. And Harris, I think, is going to get a ton of reps at wide receiver. And I think Hopkins is going to get a ton of reps split out wide, too. I think they're going to really try to see what they have in those two players.
Yeah, the first three positions we've looked at, quarterback, running back, tight end, not a lot of question marks, really. It gets a little more interesting when we move to some of these other position groups. Wide receiver, well, things have changed in the last couple of days. Allen Robinson on board. Robert Woods, one of my favorite players, he's gone, traded to the Titans. So opening day, you're probably looking at Cup, Robinson, and Van Jefferson, Ben Skowronek, and dare I say Tutu Atwell backing them up. And OBJ, I don't know what they do with him. I've heard everybody seems to want him back. Do we sign him to like a 2 or 3 year contract, knowing that the value comes later? Do we not sign him at all? You can take your first shot at it, Paul. What do we do at the wide receiver position? We're obviously not going to sign any more guys, I don't think.
Yeah, I think the Miller signing was definitely the right way to go. That brought something to a dimension to this team that was really
Allen
lacking.
Robinson?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Allen Robinson.
Right.
Yes, he was really, that signing was the way to go. There was no question about it. And, you know, he leads the league contested catches over the last 3 years. That's a dimension the team really needed, particularly in the red zone. So I think Stafford's going to love that aspect of it. You know, unfortunately, Bobby Trees was deemed expendable after that, one of my favorite players. But in terms of OBJ, one of the things that just always like in the back of my mind is, does Von Miller try to, you know, say, come on over to Buffalo? And I think that's rarely where the Rams front office has to be like really astute in terms of how they handle it, that don't let him slip away. You know, I don't think the Rams have any, you know, hesitation about waiting until he's ready, whether it's Thanksgiving or whatever it may be right around that time period. Cause that's, he's really the, you know, the other wide receiver, so to speak. But I think that's the one issue about the wide receiver core is don't let OBJ, you know, get, you know, lured away by Von Miller. Cause the whole Von Miller scenario was just horrific for the Rams.
Right.
So
right.
This would just make it exponentially worse. So how they attack this, they have to be very shrewd and they have to be proactive, which they were not with Von Miller.
Right.
Sort of being fired.
Anything to add, Tom?
Yeah, I just wanted to go back to the Robert Woods situation. So a couple of things that are of note. First is that they were very, you know, they did treat him well on the way out. They tried to find a place for him that he would thrive. They worked with him, and he loved the Tennessee situation. And you know, I don't know if they would have gotten another, maybe a fifth round or fourth round somewhere else, but they moved him for a sixth rounder to a place that he wanted to go. So if you're going to move somebody, you want to be able to work with them. That's a good sign. In terms of the cap, you know, Woods, he never played a down on his extension. It would have started this coming year. And his big extension, the same thing happened, by the way, with Goff and Gurley, a couple of obviously recent stars that never played a down on their extension. So that's an area that the Rams, you know, have to shore up is they love to dole out extensions, and maybe just a little bit more judicious with who they go to. I think that huge extension was a big part of the, you know, that cap hit, and was a big part of moving him. And then the fact that it was such a big contract, and obviously his injury plays into it, but now they have trouble moving him and don't get really anything for it. And then now they're also going to take back $21 million in dead cap money over the next 4 years, eight and a half this year. After getting off of the dead cap money from Goff and Gurley. So that's a negative for the front office. They're going to have to figure that out. But moving on to, I think OBJ, most people think he's going to re-sign. They had to get through the Woods release, the Robinson signing, the Stafford extension, and now it's on to, you know, OBJ and Donald, which we'll talk about later. But other than that, I think they're in really good shape. I agree with Paul, the Allen Robinson signing was a great signing. They needed that bigger receiver. They struggled in the red zone. Believe it or not, Higbee is one of the least effective red zone tight ends in the league. As good as he is on the in the open field, he struggles in the red zone. OBJ obviously brought a tremendous value to the Rams in the red zone. We saw how many touchdowns he was catching every game, you know, a touchdown, six touchdowns in nine games or something like that. But I love the Robinson signing. Sorry to see Woods go, and wish him well.
Can you imagine the red zone efficiency for the Rams, Tom? They'll have Kupp in the slot, Robinson and Odell. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, there was a play, I think it was the Super Bowl. I get all these games kind of blend together. Remember the pass to Van Jefferson that was intercepted, and my immediate thought was Van Jefferson didn't make a strong play on the ball. Do you remember that play? And my son, who's pretty astute on these matters, he said, you know, Allen Robinson's getting that ball. So that's what Allen Robinson brings. That, and I love Van Jefferson, but I think Allen Robinson will be a better red zone threat than Van Jefferson for sure. The offensive line, I think the Rams have presented to us what their solution is. I think they re-signed Noteboom and Brian Allen, so they have their new left tackle. and Allen returns as center. David Edwards and Havenstein still under contract as the left guard and right tackle, respectively. They lose Austin Corbett, though. Austin Corbett moves on, and they sign Coleman Shelton. Now, I've seen a couple of depth charts out there, one showing Coleman Shelton, the other showing Bobby Evans as the right guard. Who knows at this point? They also have Tremaine Ankrum, Alaric Jackson, and the center, Drake Jackson. There's probably a couple of guys I'm missing. So I still have a concern about the right guard position, but so I could see the potential for going out and finding a right guard on the market if a good player still exists. Do you want to take that one, Tom? How do you feel about the offensive line, and where do we go? I guess it's really about the right guard position, isn't it?
Yeah, at this point, that's the question mark. And, you know, there's a deep bench of players that can compete for that. You mentioned Larry Jackson, Bobby Evans, Tremaine Ankrum. There's Chandler Brewer, Jeremiah Colon, the international player Max Percher. You mentioned Drake Jackson. Adrian Ealy is coming back to camp. So there's a lot of players out there. I don't know. I still have a sneaky feeling they might try and sign somebody. There's Eric Flowers from Washington is still out there. He doesn't great, kind of high 60s PFF, but you know, maybe they pick somebody up like that cheap as they get, you know, as a released free agent that won't impact there.
Yeah, I should have mentioned up front before you take a shot at this, Paul. I checked over the cap and spot track this morning after the restructure, and if I'm not mistaken, the Rams have about $15 million in cap space now. Does that sound right?
That's right.
Yeah. So how do you feel about the offensive line, Paul? Any free agency moves possible?
Yeah, I think they had no choice but obviously to sign Noah. I mean, I think that was the right choice. He's a talented player. But I would evaluate their moves in the sense of, leaving right guard, aside for a minute. They signed Allen and Noteboom. Is their O-line better than last year? Right? If we just go, obviously, Whitworth versus Noteboom, it's, there's no comparison. So, one of the issues that I thought they would be very aggressive with the O-line, considering the way their offense is sort of geared up, and that they would make sure they took care of that early. So I think, like Tom said, I think they are going to wait till the next wave of free agency. And also you got the post-June cuts. You'll probably find like a quality player fall into their lap. There is one player that's out there, JC Treader. He plays center and guard, and he actually had two really solid years. I don't know how much they would be able to get him for, but I do think they need to really focus on, solidifying this line now and making sure that that's sort of out of the way. They can go young, also bring in some more competition and draft some players as well. I don't know if that's necessarily the way to go. But, the last episode you and I were talking, about guards. And I had mentioned how quickly NFL guards get snatched up. 12 of the 18 guards that were available in free agency are already signed.
Wow.
Which is why, when we had first spoken, I said, if you got to choose between Allen and Corbett, you go with Corbett, because guards are not going to last.
Yeah.
Right. And Ben Jones, interestingly enough, we were talking about Jones from Tennessee. He got literally the exact same deal that Brian Allen got.
Wow.
The cap, it might be a little bit different. I think Allen, just saw an article recently, Tom, you can confirm this. Somehow they worked it out where his cap hit is like minuscule. So.
I was watching an NFL, I think it was Bucky Brooks, the NFL analyst. And he was saying that the Rams need to improve their run game and their offensive line with respect to the run game to really make this work moving forward to have continued success. And I think you alluded to the fact that you have some concerns right now with the way their offensive line stacks up. And I think I do too. That's kind of what you're getting at, I think, right?
Well, it depends. They, whoever they put at right guard, that might change the whole dynamic of the offensive line. That might have been also the reason why they signed Allen. Allen is a much better run blocker than he is a pass ball.
Right.
But he's also a young player, so that aspect of it might further develop. He definitely has the moxie and the intelligence.
Yeah.
He's definitely an ascending player, so that bodes well for the Rams. Overall, it really, the right guard situation, they also have to get a little bit more quality depth, like a, you know, sort of like a Billy Turner type player, you know, who can play anywhere on the line, veteran guy that's, you know, not too expensive. They have to try to find one of those. And I think, but offensive line, I like the way they're developing their younger players, Evans and beyond. So I think if, you know, the Rams are in decent shape, but they, you know, they have to finish it off strong with a nice veteran swing and also a right guard that can, you know, work well in that zone offensive line system.
Okay, now another fun group to look at, the defensive line. I actually think we're in pretty good shape overall. Aaron Donald, A'shaun Robinson, Greg Gaines coming back, the three Super Bowl starters, Marquise Copeland, the two second-year players coming back, Bobby Brown and Ernest Brown, and Michael Hecht. He's been getting some snaps, so the Rams see something there. Of course, we lost Sebastian Joseph Day, and we can't forget he was actually one of the starters earlier in the year, but we didn't seem to miss a beat without him. The only thing I will say is, you know, Greg Gaines and especially Aaron Donald were taking a lot more snaps, a lot more wear and tear once Sebastian Joseph Day went down. So I don't know. I think our defensive line is in pretty good shape. Tom, you want to take it first? Any room for improvement here in free agency? I would guess not, but perhaps the draft.
Yeah, perhaps, but only as backups. I think with Donald and Gaines, every down players, and A'shaun coming in as that first down run stopping third lineman has worked extremely well for the Rams. That's you know, that kind of pressure that they brought freed up the edges to get to the quarterback, and it probably was the deciding factor in the Super Bowl. So Marquise Copeland and Michael Hecht, like you said, got some backup snaps. They did a good job. And then we have some of the younger guys with the Bobby Brown, Ernest Brown, and Jonah Williams in the backup role. One thing about Sebastian Joseph Day is he was healthy in the Super Bowl, and he got very few snaps. It's not like they brought back a guy and threw him in there for 20 snaps or something. So I think they're great there. They, again, just like they have every draft, they love to draft linemen and put them into the mix and see who washes out. So, but they're very well set at defensive line.
Anything to add, Paul?
Yeah, I like their starting three. I love the A'shaun Robinson move. It panned out perfectly. He was a great fit. I think Gaines, I mean, who would have guessed Gaines, how quickly, and that's what happens when you play next to Aaron Donald, right? You progress very quickly. You know, I would like to see them, you know, I remember when Fox was here and he really benefited, just one more player that they could bring into the rotation with a little bit more pass rush skill. You know, one player that's available is should come across very cheap. And he actually played at USC, the Seattle D-tackled DN, Rasheem Green. He did a really nice job for Seattle. He had 6.5 sacks, 6 TFL, and 15 quarterback hits in limited playing time. He was a situational player. So having someone like that, if we can't get a big-time edge rusher, even if we do, just increasing the, you know, the proficiency and efficiency of our pass rush, I think that would be fantastic. I think he'd be a nice fit as a rotational
player. Yeah, and what concerns me a little bit is I went back and looked at Greg Gaines' rookie year, and he was getting some action. He was getting a handful of snaps every game. And then Bobby Brown this year, pretty much invisible. And that has me wondering what his future is. Maybe he still has a role on this team. I certainly hope so. Ernest Brown, I don't know if he got any snaps at all. So I'm wondering how good that depth really is if they stand pat. Do either of you have a opinion? Can we put the Aaron Donald retirement talk to rest yet?
Well, I'll start. I'll let Tom finish it off. It's I just think it's interesting that virtually every signing, if I'm not mistaken, is on the offensive side of the ball. They are playing a very dangerous game with Aaron Donald. If Aaron Donald is serious about this, they are playing a very dangerous game. Every signing has been on the offensive side of the ball, and they lost Von Miller. So I'm sure they're in contact with him so he doesn't misconstrue anything. But, you know, if you're an outsider looking at the optics of this, it does not look well. I think Aaron Donald's mindset is really like he doesn't want to be, you know, for so many years he was the guy on the defensive side of the ball where, you know, he had to carry the weight of the world on his shoulders. And I think having Von Miller there, you know, gave him that room that he could actually relax, breathe, and, you know, really focus on, you know, playing his best football. And I think that's really what he's getting at. I really strongly feel that the Rams have, they have to make a splash move on the defensive side of the ball at some time.
Even if it's just a name player like a Bobby Wagner or someone like that.
Absolutely.
Tom, do you how do you feel about this Aaron Donald retirement talk?
Yeah, I feel like he's going to be back. There's just a lot of money on the table there. They got Stafford. I mean, they're very take things in progression. Kind of, it's a checklist. Handle the wide receiver situation, which was a big priority, a lot of things to juggle there. Get Stafford re-signed and extended, save a lot of cap money there, and, you know, check. And now let's move on to Aaron Donald and his contract. And that's likely the next to-do list for them. And I think they'll give him a monster deal that's cap friendly, and he certainly won't say no.
I certainly hope so too. Let's look at inside linebacker. Ernest Jones returns. We have Trevin Howard. He's been tendered. He was a restricted free agent. We tendered him. And Christian Roseboom, who's more of a special teams player. Troy Reader was not tendered, so he's essentially a free agent. So it looks like right now our starters would be Ernest Jones and Trevin Howard. Not much depth there. Tom, you want to take this first? Now, there are some interesting free agents, one very special one available out there. You see any action on the free agent market for the Rams?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of reports that ever since Bobby Wagner was released that he would want to, you know, the Rams want him and he would want to come to the Rams, but it's got to be at the right price, you know. So if Bobby Wagner wants to play for a contender, get to play Seattle a couple of times a year, which apparently he does because he wasn't even called in advance of his release. And he saw it on Twitter or in the news or something. So maybe a little bad blood there, given how much he meant to that franchise. But yeah, if they can bring him in at the right price, I think they will. Certainly this is another area that they love to draft in. They don't like to pay big money at inside linebacker. And I can see them being very active in the draft in the earlier rounds that they have, third, fourth rounds at inside linebacker.
How about you, Paul? We discussed Bobby Wagner a little bit recently, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Bobby Wagner, I think definitely, I mean, regardless of your scheme, regardless of your team, he's one of those guys that comes along once in a while. And when you have that opportunity, you want to add him to the roster. And I think Donald would love that. Having someone else with the experience and the, you know, the toughness behind him to sort of, you know, take some of the weight off of his shoulders. So I think it would be a great fit. I think a good scheme fit, because, you know, my primary concern on the defensive side of the ball is being able to stop the run, right? When you play the Niners, when you play some of the more physical teams, that's going to come up. You know, I'm thinking about the Buffalo game. So I think the kid from Denver, Jackson, I really like this kid. He's probably so under the radar. I don't even know how he's under the radar. I know he had that odd situation that occurred with him, unfortunately, about a court situation with an incident that had occurred. But he is extremely talented. I think he would fit in great. I'm looking at some of the projections in terms of his contract. It seems fairly slight, but I think he would be great. He can pretty much do it all, and he's just a great team player. Nothing but positive reports about him. The draft does have a very, very high quality inside linebacker types that are going to be available when the Rams pick. So if it turns out that's the way they go, it's going to be win-win for them.
Yeah, you can get good value. I think those are two positions that you can get value at that the Rams might have a need, and that's guard and inside linebacker. You can get potential starters in the third, fourth, fifth round. And I think the Wagner signing, it would also, we're talking about Aaron Donald. I think I agree that would send a signal to Donald. You know, that would be a move Donald would have to love.
And how great would it be if we could get Kenny Young back?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Denver comes to Los Angeles this year, if I'm not mistaken. And I think Micah Kizer and Kenny Young would both have that circled on their calendar.
Oh, yeah.
And Micah Kizer is another guy. I know he has his shortcomings, but I always kind of liked him. He's just an old school thumper linebacker, kind of like Troy Reader, actually, but probably better than Troy Reader.
Yeah, one thing to add on the inside linebackers, and as well as the entire roster, you know, the Rams team build strategy relies heavily on comp picks, as we all, you know, we know. And one of the big elements of comp picks is signing unrestricted free agents whose contracts expired, negate one of your comp picks that you got by letting somebody, one of your own free agents, get signed by somebody else. So the Rams are very hesitant to sign somebody who is a traditional unrestricted free agent. And I think, like you were talking about, Paul Kareem Jackson fits that category. So their market is shrunk by primarily focusing on free agents that have been cut. But they do a lot of their work in that area. Bobby Wagner obviously fits into that category, or through trades and so forth. So don't see them signing any more unrestricted free agents who were free agents at the beginning of free agency whose contracts expired. Allen Robinson was the exception. That was their big splash move, and they were willing to give one up there, but that's, I think, going to be it.
Next up, edge, outside linebacker. This is where we suffered our biggest loss, perhaps, Von Miller. But remember, Von Miller was not with us for the first part of the season, for much of the season, and you know, it wasn't like it was a team weakness, in my opinion, but we have Leonard Floyd obviously coming back, Justin Hollins, Terrell Lewis, and the second year player, Chris Garrett, who the Rams obviously see something in. And then we also, aside from losing Von Miller, we also lost Oko, who provided he was a good rotational presence. And I know there's some guys out there still available. There's a few that could really bolster this edge presence on the Rams team. How do you feel about it, Tom?
Just in terms of that position, obviously there's Leonard Floyd, the big restructure on his contract, which was easily foreseeable given the huge cap hit. And that was what got them under the cap on when they had to be at the beginning of the season, at the beginning of the new NFL year. Justin Hollins played great at the beginning of last year, as you alluded to. Terrell Lewis was a big part of that initially, and then he lost all of his snaps after Von Miller came in and Okoronkwo was effective. But I think they're in decent shape there with Hollins and Lewis and Garrett. They may start there. They may try and draft somebody there as a you know, another depth player. But the player I'm looking at in free agency at that position is Trey Flowers from Detroit. A very strong player. He had he's a man of the year candidate in 2019. Brad Holmes, who obviously has the Rams ties, loves him. Great locker room guy, great in the community. And last year he had an injury riddled season that really kind of derailed him. But the prior 4 years, he was 80 plus on PFF. And that guy is still out there, and he's a cut free agent that makes him sort of a target for the Rams. I'd keep an eye on Trey Flowers from Detroit.
Okay. Trey Flowers, I have to keep an eye on him. Yeah, there could be a second wave of free agent signings coming in the next few weeks. There's always that initial frenzy, and then things settle down, and then teams like the Rams move in and sign some of these not necessarily second-level free agents, guys that still have a lot of value out there. And anything you have to add with respect to our edge rushers, Paul?
Yeah, Flowers has a great track record. You know, he's got a couple of Super Bowl rings. He played well when he was with the Patriots. He did get that monster deal with Detroit that didn't pan out so well, unfortunately, because of injuries. I mean, if he's healthy, I mean, that'd be great. And I think another great locker room presence who would mesh really well with Aaron Donald, another veteran player. There's a lot of great rotational players. If you look at free agency right now, there are a lot of really good rotational players that are out there, you know. And I know what Tom is saying about the, you know, comp picks and everything else, and I understand that rationale, but you know, when you're letting good players go because you want to get a fourth and fifth round comp pick, I mean, you have to, like, if you're really talking about running it back, you need production now. And if you look at it, you know, the Miles Jack was out there, and you know, I think the Steelers have done a great job in free agency. They got him for like 7 mil. But there are a lot of really good rotational players out there. You got Jerry Hughes, you got Ingram, Arden Key from San Francisco, who played everywhere up the line, young kid. He's another great one. Justin Houston, like Tom said, I'm a big fan of Za'Darius Smith. I was so happy when he got released by the Ravens that they didn't re-sign him. So, and one dark horse, but he's a little bit more on the expensive side because he's always chased the big contract, is Clowney. Clowney, because size and versatility next to Donald, oh, the things that they could do. But they, you know, I think I like Hollins, just like Tom. I thought Hollins played great before he got hurt. I think Hollins and Lewis on a rotation with maybe another quality player, like a veteran guy like Hughes and or Ingram, would be phenomenal in case they don't go big splash for the edge. Or even a good developmental player from the draft, or a couple. I know they liked D'Angelo Malone. He did it great at the Senior Bowl. He's a, you know, a little on the smaller end. He's only about 235, 240. But I could see that, you know, shoring up that right outside pass rushing specialist role.
Yeah, and hopefully a lot of these questions are answered. We'll do a pre-draft roundtable as well, and we can revisit a lot of these positions and discuss these guys you're mentioning a little bit more.
Lorenzo Carter, also from the Giants, he was hurt early on. He's a younger player. In his last six games, he had five sacks. If you watch the
Oh,
tape,
wow.
he did a great job. Hand usage improved. You could see that he just responded to coaching or whatever it was. The light bulb went on. His hand usage was much better. He was able to knife into the backfield much more frequently. So another good possible rotational.
So I think the consensus then is we wouldn't be completely upset if they rolled with their current guys,
Not at all.
but it would be nice to add a body, maybe a veteran. Not necessarily, it doesn't necessarily have to be a splash player, but someone that can just help rotationally.
And for whatever reason, this is a position that the Rams like to go after the trade deadline. And or, you know, right around the trade deadline. It seems to be a mid-season position for them for whatever reason. Maybe they feel like that's the time when they can get somebody, you know, on a rental deal to go out for the push, see who's healthy, see who's not, see who's effective, see who's not. And for whatever reason, that seems to be the pattern.
Yeah, that they certainly have a history of doing that.
Or late year grab for a corner, you know, something like that. You never know. The trade deadline has been great for the Rams in the past couple of years.
Which brings us to cornerback. We lost Darius Williams to Jacksonville. We bring back Jalen Ramsey, obviously, Robert Rochelle, David Long, a couple youngsters, Tyler Hall, Kareem Orr, Grant Haley. Grant Haley, actually, I think, has a potential to be a backup on this team, if nothing else. But I still am not convinced we are solid at this position, especially opposite Ramsey. There's also Dante Dion out there. He's still a free agent. So, how do you feel, Paul? Do we need to make a move at the cornerback position in free agency?
Yeah, if you look at, you know, you mentioned Dante, we're going to assume that he, you know, let's say he doesn't come back. So we have Rochelle Long and Ramsey. I think Long was a third rounder and Rochelle was a fourth rounder. So I think they're going to let these guys play. I think you need one more, and the cap and all their other moves will dictate this. Do they have enough to bring in a veteran corner, a savvy, physical veteran corner that plays well off the ball? And you know, the two names that one of the names, my favorite anyway, and I don't know what number he would come in on, would be Steven Nelson. I always, when you watch this kid play, he's just a competitor. You know, regardless, I know they say he's undersized, but he plays physical. You don't really see him get pushed around too much. And he loves playing in that zone scheme. One name that I was just thinking about, I didn't even realize he was on the free agent list, was A.J. Bowie, who played with Jalen Ramsey. The problem with this is that Bowie, one criticism about him, he's not great off the ball. He likes to play that loose man. When they play him off the ball, he doesn't really – sort of like the same issue we have with Darius Williams. But you never know. Maybe with Ramsey in his ear, that might help. You know, that reunion might be great for, you know, Ramsey, and might be great for him. A couple of slot guys out there, you know, Kawan Williams, Bryce Callahan, those guys really great experience, great competitors. And anytime you can grab somebody from the division is always a good thing. So if they decide to go that route, but when the Rams pick, there's also in the draft some really young, small school players like Rochelle. If they want to do another Rochelle move and let the young guys fight it out. But I think Long is going to get a legitimate shot to get more playing time this year.
How about you, Tom? Do you agree?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of young talent there that they're going to go into camp and let them fight it out. Dante Dion is interesting. They're sort of, I think they're letting him test the market, see where it ends up. And you know, for him, but I haven't heard a lot about him. So if he comes back, I think that's the plug above Long. We'll see about that. In terms of free agents, I agree that they're going to go after some. I believe they will go after somebody. I think they should go after somebody. I believe Nelson is, again, a standard free agent that they probably might like, but wouldn't give up the comp pick for. Bowie, on the other hand, was released and would be a possible target. The guy that I love and I'm really hoping for is a trade for James Bradbury, who the Jets have kind of put on the market. There's word that he'd be available for a third round pick. The guy is a monster in the zone scheme that they play, the two high shell, read the quarterback as opposed to the man press that other cornerbacks excel at. He gets just tremendous marks as a locker room guy and a culture guy that Jordan Rodrigue, who covers the Rams for The Athletic, was covered him in Carolina and actually got to spend a lot of time with him. She's a huge fan of his as a person and a player. I would love to see them go after James Bradbury in a trade.
Yeah, and he was always a positive voice. You know, I can tell you here in the New York media, when things were not going well with the Giants, he would be great. Absolutely. That third round comp pick they have would, if they, you know, if the Giants accept, that would be great. You know, what about the contract implications? Because I think he has, isn't his like 15.74 mil?
I think, I think that, you know, that they've been very astute at restructuring these contracts. And I think they could do the same with him. He could be somebody they could count on opposite Ramsey for years to come. He would really shore up that that position, which is, in my opinion, their biggest need at this point, even above the outside linebacker position.
And he'd be a steadying influence on Ramsey.
Yeah, exactly.
His personality is the exact opposite of Ramsey. And I think he'd be a nice steadying influence.
Well, I think you guys have just sold me on James Bradbury. He wasn't even on my radar, but yeah, he sounds like he'd be a great fit. And they did free up some cap space for something, right? Obviously, we knew this was coming eventually, but they do have the money, and they can actually free up a lot more money still. So maybe they make a move like that. Let's see what's left here. I really like our safety group. Taylor Rapp, Jordan Fuller, Nick Scott, Terrell Burgess. J.J. Hughes is a free agent. They could still bring him back. How do you feel about the safety group, Tom?
Yeah, so obviously we're back with Fuller and Rapp. Nick Scott emerged as a really strong third player there. He might even get the start over Rapp. Rapp is one more of that that old school, you know, sort of a quasi linebacker, great against the run, really struggled against the reading some of the pass zone pass defenses that the Rams run, obviously with a too high shell. So I might go with Fuller and Scott to start there. We'll see. Obviously, Terrell Burgess, Jake Gervais, Antoine Brooks is in there. Juju Hughes is still out there as an exclusive rights free agent. So there's, again, a bunch of young guys that can compete. We'll see if they give them a chance. Again, this is another position, much like running back and inside linebacker, where the Rams don't spend money. They just don't spend money at these positions, and they have to spend them on other positions. So I don't see a big free agent signing here. Again, this is a position that they love to go after early in the draft, find people that can play immediately. And so I think they stand pat and go look for safeties in the draft.
Anything to add, Paul?
Yeah, I like this group. The one issue that with this group that I think was apparent from last year, I think Fuller and Rapp. So Fuller was much better when he was closer to the line of scrimmage, when he played in the box as opposed to playing that sort of deep half. So you definitely saw that throughout the year. Hopefully, maybe that was just getting you know, adjusted to the scheme and getting familiar with everything. So I'm hoping that changes. But yeah, I do think they need to bring in one other safety that can play that sort of zone coverage deep half type, as opposed to the box type. I think Fuller and Rapp are both those type of safeties. I think that's going to be the issue moving forward, is to how to maximize Jordan Fuller, because I think he has Pro Bowl potential. He's that good. So they have to find a way to get him in whatever works for him, even if it makes Taylor Rapp expendable. So I think they're going to do something like, you know, like the Patriots do. They'll wait till the end of free agency, see what veteran is sitting out there, and get him in on a cheap deal and get somebody who's, you know, who's got the savvy, will sit back there just like, you know, and because they need more splash plays from their deep safeties. With the pass rush they had, they should have had way many more interceptions from their safeties.
Even when they had John Johnson, they, you know, they didn't really get a lot of interceptions from their safeties. Yeah. John Johnson, I think he dropped more interceptions than he caught, actually. I love the guy, but he did not have great hands.
That's what Deion Sanders says. There's a reason those guys are playing safety.
Right. And I think safety is another position I think you can get value, you know, later in the draft, in the mid rounds, late rounds.
A lot of athletic safeties in the draft every year. Absolutely.
Special teams, a little interesting. You know, we tendered Matt Gay. Our long snapper comes back. We don't have a punter at the moment. And Brandon Powell coming back. And there's one guy in the draft, I'll see if one of you bring him up, punting-wise, that I would love for the Rams to draft. So special teams, Paul, we need a punter at the moment. How do you feel about that, free agency-wise or the draft?
So free agency-wise, there are some pretty good punters out there. I was surprised that I think he was in the Pro Bowl too. Wasn't the Dallas punter, didn't he represent the NFC in the Pro Bowl? And he's out there in free agency. And I think he also led the league in net yardage. So, I mean, that's a no-brainer, obviously, if they can get him. But, you know, also the guy from Arizona, he's also out there. He's available, and the kid from Atlanta. So they have a couple of really good punters. I think you're talking about – are you talking about Matt Areza, the kid from San Diego State?
Right.
Oh, yeah. He was fun to watch.
Now, there is a – they always find a knock on a player, and one of the knocks on him is that he may not be a great positional punter. He's going to outkick the coverage pretty consistently, but – he's a talent, that's for sure. And he's going to get drafted. It's just a matter of how early.
I was looking up the other day. Well, actually, it's interesting when you start looking up punters, right? And you look at inside the 20 percentage. And both The guy from Dallas and the guy from Atlanta were 38% and 40% respectively, which is not bad, dropping the punts inside the 20. And that's really where Hecker was really awesome. You know, those coffin kicks were so useful for the Rams and really turned the tide in a couple of games when it comes to field position. So I agree with you. I think this is something that you could easily overlook. But, you know, this kid, Areza from San Diego State, they just love him. He's got I think for San Diego State, he kicked the field goals of 45 yards or more. He also booms the kicks. But he's also athletic enough. He runs the fakes. He's like Hecker. He can throw the ball. He can run with the ball. He's a real athlete.
And I think he actually makes some tackles too.
Yeah, he's a football player. You love it. Right. So he would be a great pick. The guy from Georgia, there's a punter from Georgia, Jake Camarda. They love this guy because when they looked at his stats over the last, I think it was 2 or 3 years, the deviation in yardage, you talk about consistency, was something like 2% across 3 years. That's how consistent this kid was. And his numbers were also, I think he was like, if not number two, number one in the NCAA for yardage in terms of punting average. So actually, it's very interesting. So the Rams have two shots at two very, very, very talented punters. So yeah, we'll call it the Ray Guy syndrome this year. What we're looking at.
Yeah, they very well could draft a punter this year. And remember, it's kind of interesting. Johnny Hecker wasn't drafted. He was an undrafted free agent. So
most teams, teams have a rule. They will not draft. They will not waste a draft pick on a punter. They'll see that the punters don't normally get drafted and they'll just sign them.
Yeah, right. Any follow-up to that, Tom? I know you were a big fan of Johnny Hecker, right?
Well, I thought that at his price, they would bring him back. They did take $1 million dead cap hit, which isn't that much, but you know, obviously he got snatched up by Carolina, 3 years, $7.5 million. So yeah, I was surprised, you know, given as much leadership as they kind of lost this year, and he's a leadership guy. Not sure why they decided to move on from him, but nevertheless, I agree. It'll be somebody late in the draft, or if somebody's still around, or you know, an unsigned free agent at punter. But no, I think they're in good shape. Matt Gay got a nice tender, I think $2.5 million, $2.4 million. But you know, Paul, you mentioned the punter Areza that could take the long field goal attempts. That's where Matt Gay struggled, right? He was very consistent in the, you know, the shorter yardage kicks that are sub 50, sub 45, but doesn't have the biggest leg. And that's probably why he was released in the first place from Tampa Bay. But I think they're in good shape there. And, you know, those spots aren't that hard to fill. But re-signing Powell, I think, was the priority for sure.
So if I were to summarize this, what I've collected from you guys, I'll go first and see if you guys agree with how I would capture all of this. Our biggest concerns at this point are that second cornerback position, solidifying that offensive line, and finding a punter. That's the conclusion I come to here. I mean, there's some other concerns, obviously, but those are probably be, and it would, the reason I mentioned punter is, you know, when you move off of Johnny Hecker, you know, it's going to be a brand new world with a punter back there. And it's going to also be don't overlook the fact that that also means we're going to have a new holder on field goals. Right. So, that's a little bit of a concern there. How do you feel about that, Paul? Did I capture that correctly, or did I rack and stack them correctly from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, it's these subtle changes that sometimes have the most dramatic impact on a team. Like you said, a holder, long snapper, right? A lot of times those moves go under the radar. You know, the one thing, you know, and you remember from our segment, I said, you know, when you're talking about running it back, the one thing you always want to do is make your team tougher on both sides of the ball. And I think that's a big deal, particularly, you know, the teams that are going to be competing with the Rams and how they play football. So on offense, right, when you take a look at all the moves that are remaining, that definitely has to be the emphasis. Obviously, there's skill involved, but, you know, the toughness aspect of it, the leadership aspect of it. They definitely did that with our buddy Robinson, right? I think they'll do that, a subtle move, when they bring in the remainder of their offensive line. But on the defensive side of the ball, that's really where it's going to get interesting. Whoever they do bring in, there has to be that theme, you know, especially on defense, that have to be tougher and raise the overall football IQ of that squad.
So it's not necessarily a position focus. It's just a tough guy, a Bobby Wagner type guy.
Yeah, the demeanor of the defense has to change. The demeanor of the defense has to change.
How about you, Tom? You want to rack and stack our needs, and feel free to disagree with me. That I'm just trying to echo what I think I heard in the last hour.
Yeah, I think cornerback is the number one priority in terms of bringing somebody in from the outside. And then outside linebacker is probably number two. Inside linebacker, maybe tied for second as well. That's those that linebacker position is critical. So defense is the priority, you know, some reinforcement, a good reinforcement on the offensive line would be helpful. But as Paul noted earlier on, this offseason has been all about the offense and all about our losing free agents on the defense without a lot done about it. And if I'm not mistaken, our one free agent signing on defense was Trevin Howard, who was an exclusive rights free agent of our own. And so maybe Anthony Hines qualifies as somebody to come in on the practice squad. But it's, yeah. So second half of free agency, look for defense to be the theme.
So you feel a little bit better about our offensive line than Paul and I, it sounds like.
I think they need somebody. I think they have a lot of guys there that are that have had some experience, that are big, strong, smart, and there's just such depth in the on the bench at that position that I think somebody will emerge. You know, a Bobby Evans or Coleman Shelton, somebody like that.
Yeah, good enough. Okay. What I'd like to do is, I think we've captured this, you know, captured the current situation with the Rams with respect to free agency and what they need to do moving forward. What I'd like to do is, as we get closer to the draft, we'll do a little roundtable prior to the draft, if you guys are up for it. Not sure when we would do that. You know, a week or 10 days before the draft would be ideal. And kind of do the same thing if you guys are up for it.
Absolutely. We may want to do the way things are happening, there may be another free agency analysis in our future. We're far from done.
Yeah, no, you're right. Maybe in 2 weeks, and then that would set up for maybe 2 weeks later, the pre-draft roundtable.
Yeah, this is what separates the good teams from the, you know, the guys who'll be drafting early next year is the next phase of free agency.
That's true. That's true. I mean, that was kind of crazy. Christian Kirk, I'm sure he's a fine wide receiver, but man, right out of the gate, that contract just seemed insane to me. But, you know, when you got money to spend like Jacksonville did, I guess those are the moves you make.
Yeah, they're in this quagmire where they have to pay a premium to get people to come to Jacksonville. Until that cycle can be broken, they overpay for guys, and so a lot of times these guys that get overpaid wash out, and then they end up cutting them. Now they have dead money. Now they have to, you know, spend even more to get people to come, and it's I see it in other sports as well, but it's a bad cycle to be in, and unfortunately I'm not sure that team has the leadership to break out of it anytime soon.
And it's a shame, because Trevor Lawrence is just, what a player, great player. And it's a shame that they really can't get a quality team under this guy.
And I think Darius Williams went there primarily, or at least partly, because he's from the Jacksonville area. So, but good for him. I think that's a good discussion. Any final thoughts either of you, Paul? Any last words?
Yeah, I think it's you know, when we went through the roster, you can see it's the Ram plan, right? Is no glaring holes, solid roster, a solid foundation, you know. you know, always create that positive trajectory. I think the Rams are in great shape. They just have to be, you know, astute in terms of what they're doing moving forward. I also agree with Tom. I think trade deadline is going to be like that, always that plus one we know is going to come in at the trade deadline for us down the road. So we, you know, we can always keep that in our back pocket, but the roster looks good. The next wave of free agency and all the way to the end, I think they're going to wind up bringing in some real crafty veterans who still have a lot of gas left in the tank. And I think that's going to be the theme moving forward for the Rams.
Good stuff. How about you, Tom? Last words?
Yeah, I think the kind of the overhaul, if you will, or maybe it's more just a shift in the offensive strategy. I think we're going to see a lot more empty sets this year with the right personnel to do it than we did last year. I think we saw McVay really wanted to go empty set, and he just wasn't having the success that he had hoped. And I think that was a big reason for the signing of Allen Robinson and the release of Robert Woods. Believe it or not, I think we might still see another receiver come in. I know it's crazy to say, given how crowded that room is, but I really think they're going to sort of say, hey, last year we weren't effective. We had to go back to sometimes a six-man line to establish the run, to set up the pass. And I think the Rams are, McVay really wants to go into a mode of, hey, we're going to pass to set up the run. And so I think that's significant to take away from what's happened so far. But other than that, I think that it's the typical Rams team build strategy. Let some free agents go, get comp picks, don't sign free agents that cost us comp picks, and go look in the draft and look for people at the trade deadline to reinforce us for the second half of the season.
Okay. Hey, I thank you guys both for your time, getting up on a Sunday to do this, contributing to the podcast. I really appreciate it. And we will do this again real soon. I'll reach out to you maybe in a couple weeks. We'll update this, the status of the team with respect to free agency, and lots of good stuff. I really appreciate your time.
It's always great. Always great here to hear Tom's insights and yours. And it's never too early to talk Ram football.
Yeah. I like having you guys on because I think I know a lot, and then I hear you guys talk, and you're both making me smarter.
Yeah, great. Well, thanks for having me again, and welcome to come on anytime, and look forward to a great rest of the off season and a great start to the season as it approaches.
Okay, thanks a lot, you guys.
All right, have a great one.
Bye bye.
That's gonna do it for this episode. I encourage you all to follow Tom at RamsBeat and Paul, PWalia10969 on Twitter. Loads of good Rams information. I'll have them both back for another evaluation of free agency as well as a pre-draft roundtable. That should be a lot of fun. Remember, you can reach us at ramsuppodcast@gmail.com. You can visit our website at laramsup.com. And don't forget to subscribe and give us that 5-star rating. It's greatly appreciated. And remember, keep the horns up, stay safe, and have fun out there.
Music courtesy of bensound.com and the YouTube royalty-free music audio library, Crimson Fly by Humma Humma.